our God of light, we come before you this morning. We pray now that as we begin to explore your words, that you speak to our hearts and minds. Bless us in this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What is the relevance of this transfiguration story in our lives today? We're on a mountain. You're living in a very mountainous region, a very beautiful region, but you're on a mountain. And a bit like Moses, Jesus invites us to come up to that mountain. How relevant is that in our lives today? I'd like this morning just to pick out a couple of the characters, because I think there's something about the characters for each of us to relate to this morning. Now, let me start, if that's okay, with just picking up a number of key things about this particular passage. Numbers as one of the things that starts the reading, and that actually says quite a lot about what is happening here. So you've got 6 days, you've got the three disciples, and sort of 7 days, and then are coming down the mountain, and particularly with the Exodus reading. So let's have a look at our characters. Let's start with Peter. He's one of my favourite people because he tends to put his foot in it and he tends to get things wrong. But thank goodness Jesus is just so forgiving and, you know, really takes time to work with him. Which is clearly, if there are times in our lives where we feel like Peter, then we have that assurance that Jesus continues to work with us. Just before this fantastic trip up the mountain, Peter had declared that he knew Jesus was. Because the last few weeks, we've been travelling through, picking out the key things through Epiphany to find out who this man Jesus is. And Peter declared he knew, he got it. And then, when Jesus said he was going to die, Peter challenged him. And then, of course, Jesus was quite stern with him and rebuked him. But he didn't leave him behind, did he? He was going up the mountain, and he did not leave Peter behind. He took Peter with him, along with his brother James and John. Peter is overwhelmed by what is happening, totally overwhelmed. And he comes up with the most natural thing that most of us would say. This is just amazing what is happening. Let us build something, a tent, some buildings, a church, perhaps. It's only natural, isn't it? Because here we are today in our lives. If something special happens to us at this very special place, what do we do? Well, not most of us, but for those of us who know how to use a phone as a camera and stuff, you take a photograph, don't you? You capture the moment, and then you send it to everyone else to say, you never guessed where we were. We were in Tim Hortons, and we filmed a special. Something along those lines. Not quite being up the mountain and being there with Jesus, but that's what Peter wanted. He wanted that camera to be able to capture that moment and to say, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Yeah? But then, of course, he got into trouble, didn't he? Because he was then interrupted by a deeper, stronger voice from the crowd that says, this is my son. Another character, obviously, is our man, Jesus. He's on a journey. He's on his next stage to Jerusalem. So next week, when we start our first week in Lent, we start that journey with Jesus. But he has been fasting, he's been getting prepared for this moment, and he goes up the mountain. I'm not sure Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, but there before him, we saw Jesus speaking to the prophet Elijah, and of course Moses, who we were told was given the law as he came down the mountain. And what Jesus was doing in that conversation was actually fulfilling the prophecy that here's my son and I have a job for him to do. So Jesus was confirming who he was and what his father wanted him to do. Now he knew he had to die. He knew he was on his way to Jerusalem, at least anyway, and that at the end wouldn't necessarily be the way that he would want it to be. But he said to the disciples, don't tell anyone until that day has happened. Our other character on the mountain, obviously, is Moses. Moses and Elijah. And there was something very special about the two of them. One was that when Moses died, no one actually knew that Moses was buried. And the second one, equally with Elijah, when he died, we're told that he was taken up to heaven. And what those two characters represent for us is that sense of resurrection and knowing that we will also be taken with our Savior to heaven. So we've got all our characters and they're busy working at the top of the mountain. But for us sitting here this morning, our job is down the mountain. The first one. When they heard the voice, they were absolutely terrified and they fell on the ground, shaking and trembling with fear. And you know what? And this for me, if I was remembering the story like you this morning, this is the bit I wouldn't have remembered. But it was a very special moment. Lying there absolutely terrified, Jesus comes over, he puts his hands on them, and he touches them. And he would have said in the most compassionate voice, do not be afraid. And that's what Jesus is saying to all of us in our lives today. Do not be afraid. And isn't it just lovely when you open your eyes, the only person you see is Jesus. You want to give God thanks for that wonderful, wonderful relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus. And the second thing for us today is back to that cloud. Normally when we have clouds, we know that there is a voice. Because at Jesus' baptism, we were told the heavens opened. There was a cloud and there was a voice. Now the voice says something very similar to what was said at Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved son. Fantastic. Confirming who Jesus is. But this time, the voice adds a little bit, and this is the challenge for us today. He says, listen to him. How do we listen? How do we listen to God? How do we listen for God? How do we listen with God? For some of us, it's that voice in the silence. For some of us, it's that time alone where we read the scriptures. For others, we need to be down in the valley. And for others, we need to be up on that mountaintop. How do we listen to God? How do we know that it's God's voice that is talking to us. The most important way to do that is through prayer. But you know what? God has no arms and legs, mouth, ears and eyes but ours. So sometimes, in that conversation, when you least expect it, someone says something and you think, God's been talking to me today. So today, I do believe God speaks into every situation, up the mountain, down the valley, even that journey on the way down. God speaks into every one of our situations. God is always present with us. And if we listen to that voice that says, do not be afraid. So let us keep our hearts and our minds totally focused on what God has to say to us. And that voice of God can be found in people's stories, in their struggles, in their hopes, and in their dreams. But as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, our challenge this morning is to hear that voice and to listen. Amen.